The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, Miller Lite, and PNC.
Hi, everyone. A pleasant good evening to you. Another edition of Bears All Access brought to you by Uber alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. I'm Zach Saveman. All right. So free agency is over from the standpoint that the big free agents that the Bears were looking into have already been signed. The combine is over. So you know what the numbers are of the prospects that are heading into the NFL draft later this month. And the pro days at the big schools with the big names that have been linked to the Bears at number three are all over. So we know what those numbers are like. So I've got a simple question for you. 312-644-6767. Based on what the Bears have done this offseason and the numbers that you've seen from these prospects, Tom, has your opinion changed in regards to A, what the Bears need, and B, what the Bears want?
No, not really. But, you know, you have to take a lot more into consideration because you learned a lot more about the players that you were thinking about since the conclusion of the college season, throughout free agency, since the combine, and since the pro days. To me, I always still like the thought of Deshaun Watson and the quarterback position. I know there's not a lot of people that are high on him, you know, at this position in the draft, but I'm looking for the future of the football team and how important that position is. How successful he's been throughout his college career and some of the things that he's proved to me in the evaluation process of a quarterback. And one of the things that when you draft a college player, there's very few perfect players that you draft out of college, and you have to change, alter, or teach a lot of these guys something about their career. So with that being said, to me, I look at everybody talking about how the Deshaun Watson at the quarterback position, that's too high for him. Then you think of Jamal Adams today at his pro day at LSU. They didn't like the speed that he ran the 40 with at the combine. Then today they said they had some hand watches on him at 4.33. So he upgraded his speed consideration considerably at his pro draft day. Then before I came to the show, I was down at Starbucks and there is a Bears fan down there talking about the draft this year. And he says, hey, how about if you go and you draft Mitch Trubisky and then you hold him hostage later in the draft and just make him a tradable cog to see if you can trade him to a team that really wants him and then gain more picks in the draft. So there's a lot of confusion, and I thought at the end of the NFL season that this would be a self-explanatory third pick in the draft. Hey, that'd be easy. But there's more confusion leading up to the draft than anything else. But to me, I still like the thought of the quarterback position, and maybe it's not smart, but I still like Deshaun Watson.
We've got a quarterback on the show. What do you think, Jim?
Well, I'm with Tom with this. I do like Deshaun Watson. I just don't like him at the third overall. You know, I do think, you know, when you look at his experience, the big games he's in, he's been in the big stage, on the big stage. I think I like his maturity, and I think he's a guy that continues to grow on a lot of teams. I personally think he is the best quarterback in this year's draft. Granted, some other people may like Mitchell Trubisky, who's very green and does have some upside out of North Carolina. But I just think when you look at what the Bears have done in free agency, when you give Mike Glennon the three-year, $45 million contract, when they bring in Mark Sanchez to compete for the backup spot, I just don't see quarterback at number three being a glaring need. And I see them going in a different direction. I've been consistent. I love Jamal Adams out of LSU. I like Jonathan Allen, the D lineman out of Alabama, who I think would be a solid pick at that choice. And I think right now where teams are in terms of whether the hay's in the barn, they're starting to stack their boards, and you see all these visits. Of the 30 visits, probably the Bears are going to bring in their 30 guys, though in there are going to be the targeted guys that they are going to focus on during the seven rounds of the 2017 NFL draft. So I just think if you connect the dots, you can probably figure out what direction the Bears are leaning in, or at least get a better idea of what they want to focus on come draft day.
Hey, Jim, I have a question for you. Now that Tony Romo has decided to call it a retirement, you have a good preseason, a good play, a good solid performance by a guy like Mark Sanchez. Does he become tradable to the Houston Texans because you not only need depth at the quarterback, but you need experience down there with a good defensive football team? And what is your now quarterback evaluation of some of these teams now that Romo has made his announcement?
No, it's a good point. And, you know, I think all those discussions will happen. And can they occur? Or would a team call and inquire? Or would the Bears put out there that Mark Sanchez is available? Because I do think the Bears will draft a quarterback at some time, at some point in this year's draft. And I think if you have the ability to parlay it into compensation, maybe acquire another pick, I think the Bears should be all for that. I really do, because they have so many areas that they need to correct. Certainly they've been active with I think Mark is the 12th free agent that the Bears have signed. That is a sign of a bad team. When you're signing 12 free agents, I think, you know, what Cleveland has done, look at all the teams at the top of the draft and where they're selecting. They've all been active in free agency, but that's because they need to get better in a lot of areas, and that's why the records are reflective of that. So if they have the ability to, I don't want to be cliche and say play money ball, but if you can acquire more picks, to me, the draft is always a great way to build your team, because you can coach them, develop them, and bring those players along so that they can be impactful players down the road.
Here's what I find interesting is when you start to take a look overall at Ryan Pace and his brief history as Bears general manager. In the first round, draft number one, Kevin White, supremely gifted athletically, put up just mind-boggling numbers in terms of the combine and his pro day. Same thing happened with Leonard Floyd. We're talking about athleticism that was jumped through the charts, and that's something that the Bears valued. They traded up to get him. When you start to take a look at the names that are being linked to the Bears, depending on which mock draft you look, whether it's Jamal Adams, the safety from LSU, who ran the 4.33, if you believe the LSU official account today during their pro day, whether it's Malik Hooker, very athletic safety, from Ohio State, Marshawn Lattimore, Ohio State's top corner from last season. These are just some of the names that are being linked. Jonathan Allen, who may have been the best defensive player in all of college football last year. Who's the guy, Jim, that jumps out from an athletic standpoint?
For me, it's Jamal Adams. You know, because nothing against Malik Hooker, because I think he's got tremendous upside. I really do. He's a former basketball player that really has played only 1 year of safety at Ohio State. I think he's got tremendous athleticism. You know, earlier today, somebody was saying, oh, I think he's the next Earl Thomas. He is not Earl Thomas from the Seattle Seahawks, and here's why. If you were to go watch his tape, he misses a lot of tackles in space, so I question whether he's a willing tackler. I do think he's got turnover and ball skill ability. Obviously, the seven interceptions are reflective of that. I think he's got a high upside to him. But when I look at Jamal Adams, that is a safety that can play in the box. He can be an intimidator. He can line up in flex positions with flex tight ends, and he can run with tight ends as good as anybody. He can play single field safety and has the range to roam sideline to sideline to come up and make a play on the football if need be. And that guy is a willing hitter. Anybody across the middle, there is going to be a price to pay. Plus, he's got great leadership, great character. I could go on and on about Jamal Adams. I love that player from LSU.
Coming up next, we'll find out who Tom Thayer thinks is the best athlete out of the group that I mentioned. Plus, something for a little bit later on the show. Tom mentioned the name Tony Romo. You guys have both been doing what Tony Romo is about to do. What advice would you give the former Cowboys quarterback as he jumps from the field into the broadcast booth? Bears All Access rolls on. Have you changed your opinion in regards to what the Bears need based on what they've done in free agency and the numbers that the prospects have put up at their pro days and at the combine? We'll get your thoughts next at 312-644-6767. Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Don't miss any of the NFL draft excitement. The 2017 Miller Lite Chicago Bears Draft Party brought to you by PNC is Thursday, April 27th at Soldier Field. Tickets are on sale now at chicagobears.com. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, I'm Zach Sadman. This is Bears All Access brought to you by Uber. And Tom, I don't know about you, but one of my favorite parts of the week during football season is the day that Pernell McPhee stands in front of his locker and talks to the media, because you never quite know what direction it's going to go, but you know it's going to be a must-listen type of press conference. And we're lucky that Pernell McPhee is lighter. He's feeling better. He's an award winner this offseason. Pernell McPhee is this year's Bears recipient of the Ed Block Courage Award, which is voted on by teammates. So that gives you an idea of what his teammates think about him. It's for players who symbolize professionalism, great strength, and dedication. And Pernell McPhee joins us live right now on Bears All Access. Hello, Pernell. Welcome aboard. What does it mean to win this award, given the fact that your teammates voted for you?
Man, thanks, man. It's a great honor. You know, thanks to God and, you know, my teammates and my the training staff. It just shows how much, you know, respect they have for me on the level I work. And I had to work really hard to get back on the field. So it definitely was a process, and I did it. And the guys appreciate all the work I went through and I did for to get back on the field.
And I know that in addition to the football stuff, one of the causes that's very close to you is your ongoing effort to support victims of abuse, violence, and neglect, which is something that I think you, given your position as a professional athlete, is something that can help.
Yeah, most definitely, man. And just after winning the award, not knowing nothing about it, after I took the trips to the Ed Block Courage Award in Baltimore, I finally learned that it was just deeper than just coming off an injury, and it was more about, you know, a lot of kids growing up in poverty like I did, and being abused, which I never had to go through. And it definitely touched me in a way, because I know close people who have been abused, and I really, really appreciate it. And I really hope that when people start, more guys who get the award, who win the award, start putting effort and time in with the kids and that's getting abused and all type of things, man. But it was a great accomplishment and a great, you know, thing to be in.
Pernell, you're still a young guy in your football career. Is this the first time that you've come into a season where you've lost weight? It seems like every one of us that go through our career, it looks like we gain a couple pounds each season, but is this the first time you've taken weight off?
No. My last year in Baltimore, I had took off like 15 pounds, and I probably had the best season out of my 4 years there. And it's just like repeating. I'm going in my third year here, and I lost 20 pounds now, and I feel faster, smoother, you know. It's just a matter of fact, just keep strengthening my body and stay prayed up and keeping God first and going out and playing football.
Well, Pernell, Jim Miller here. Congratulations on the award. It is pretty prestigious, and as you mentioned, going to Baltimore, I've had an opportunity to do that and all the great things they do at the Courage Houses for kids around the country. But let me ask you this. Has this been the biggest test you've been through? Because I always believe this. It says a lot about an individual coming back from injury. Certainly you've had a rough go with the knee and then the shoulder surgery this offseason. And just talk about that determination that you have, because I think it says a lot about you.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. But, yeah, it definitely was, I call it a blessing. And the only reason why I say that, because it made me take a step back in life. And I had the opportunity to get away from football. And when I got away, I was like, yo, what I'm going to do? Because I was out so long. And I just opened up the Bible and started reading. And it just got me closer, you know, to God, which I should have been doing at first, you know, first beginning. But it really was a blessing, man, from the skies, you know, because I probably would have never picked up a Bible if I would have known. Because once you be so successful in life, sometimes as a football player, or any guy who's successful, we tend to forget about getting closer and keep getting closer to God. So that was the most important thing about this injury, and it made me focus even more on my body and the things I put in it, and just the way I walk and talk. It just helped me out a lot. So I'm very blessed for it, and I'm happy for it, and I can't wait to this year coming.
Visiting with Bears outside linebacker Pernell McPhee here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. You joked yesterday saying that this is now the sexier version of you because you've lost the 25 pounds. But how did you get there? Because you just talked about it, that you must have been, before you started getting all religious here, you must have started asking yourself the question of why me? Why is this stuff happening to me? And what were you doing before from a training and nutrition standpoint that you feel affected you from being able to perform at the highest level that you want?
Well, I don't think it really was the nutrition. It was just that I was young and I was very talented and it was in my bloodline. So I don't think it was the nutrition, but as I got older, my metabolism slowed down, which I never understood until I had to go, you know, research and do some things. And I just had to change a few things and cut back on my diet and eat 3-4 times a day. But at the same time, I know when to stop. I got to stop at 7 and just drink a whole lot of water. So that would really help me out, just knowing that if I just stopped after 7 and whenever I get hungry, just drink water, and it helped me cut down a lot of weight. And I ain't really do nothing special, man. I just kept training and stayed on top of myself. I just reprogrammed my whole mind from what it was, you know, my earlier years in my career.
But obviously you have to give up some things in order to drop the weight. What's been the toughest thing that you've had to say goodbye to get yourself in this shape?
Sex. That's the only thing I had to say goodbye to, man. But, it definitely was a challenge, but it was sex. And I know you probably would have bleeped that out, but that's what it was. And after that, you know, that was the only habit I really had that I really couldn't, that was hard to control. But other than that, man, you know, my diet, I still eat good. You know, I drink a lot of water, you know, and I get my rest, and I try to stay focused the best way I can.
You know, Pernell, ever since you've been here, you've been a leader by example by the effort you give in the practice field. But what about some of the conversations you had to have with guys, with Leonard Floyd, Jonathan Bullard, even Akeem Hicks and guys like that on the team going through the season you had last year? What message were you able to give some of these young guys that don't have a great deal of NFL experience to make sure they persevere through the tough times so they continue to put the effort in to becoming the players that these young guys have the ability to be?
Well, the main thing I always used to tell them is don't get used to losing, because that's not no fun thing. And these guys, I know that's just knowing guys around the league, they used to losing. So they come in the program or organization that's losing, and they was in one in college. And me, my whole life, I've been in the winning system through high school, college, and going to my first couple years in Baltimore. You know, I've just been in the winning system, and my main focus was make sure they don't get used to losing. So when you go on the practice field, practice hard as you play in the game, because when Sunday come, that's when it be easier, because the game more slower, because you already seen everything. And, you know, just taking care of their body. Don't be out late night every night. If you're going to do it, just do it manageable time, because you can't be out late night and try to come in and practice and your body shut down. I mean, you're young, I understand, but, you know, and just about the things they put in their bodies and everything else, like, because I know if you blink, your career over with. So I was just trying to let them know that, like, just put yourself in my shoes. Like, I'm fighting my butt off to get back on the field. So I used to always preach that to those guys, man. And just the main focus, though, we can't get used to losing. We got to dominate and destroy anybody or anything that's in our way.
Well, Pernell, it's just for the Bears fans that are out there, I mean, it's hard to get better at your craft when you're not on the field practicing, and Tom and I talk about that all the time. And just where are you at physically, where you feel, you know, whether it's through the OTAs or things you'll be able to do that you missed out on quite a bit last year dealing with that knee injury? I mean, I know you feel great physically, that you've told us, but to really start to hone in on your craft, because you always have the maintenance stuff to do in the training room, as we're all familiar with. But where are you right now in terms of doing that?
Well, I play the game a lot mentally since I've been in Baltimore. So, you know, it's just about right now I'm excited to get in the OTAs and at least be on the field with the guys, you know,
right,
running around and whatever coach put, whatever he decide to do, just run around and just laugh and joke and be serious at the same time. And, you know, I'm just excited about that moment. And, you know, with my craft and stuff, I just think a lot of stuff be mental. And you could do that stuff just walking. I could be walking and doing my hand work, sitting down doing hand movements and shifting my body different ways, just envision, like, how I use it. And then when I get on the field, you know, it'd be easy because you already done envisioned it. You just got to know, you just got to do it and not think about it.
Hey, Purnell, with the Vic Fangio system, does this give you the ability to have a defensive MVP type of season?
It will. I will be a defensive type. I will be the defensive player. I just only got to just stay healthy and just keep God first, and everything else going to take care of the rest, because I know I got the ability to just dominate and destroy. So that's what I want, and that's what I'm going after.
And they only could be adding some more defensive players in the draft. I know you've been keeping an eye on some of these young players. Do you talk to Ryan Pace, John Fox, and Vic Fangio and say, hey, you know what? I saw this guy. I've been watching the tape on this guy. I saw this guy's numbers. Hey, you might want to consider looking at this particular player.
I have been looking at guys, you know, but not that much. It just whoever they bring in, because I don't want to say those names. Whoever they bring in, I'm just going to be excited to work with them and put that chip on their shoulder and create them an ego where they could never fail in this league, because that's the only thing. You got to have a right mindset coming in. So, I mean, we talk about it sometimes, and it really, they don't give me no ideas, but I just tell them, hey, I seen that guy play one time last year. He looked good, you know, but whoever they bring in, man, I'm just going to try to create that mindset to just be a dominant force that could help me, because I'm going to be able to help him, you know. So that's just the main thing with that.
Well, that's a great point, because when you look at some of the additions, certainly John Fox and Ryan Pace feel that these players are worthy to add to the team and can better the team. When you look at Quinton Debs, the safety, Prince Amukamara, the cornerback, Cooper also brought in, and then I'll even throw in the latest, Big John Jenkins, the defensive lineman. How important is that to you to create that bond with your new teammates, getting to know them, and really you guys creating the goals of what you want to be defensively?
Yeah, it's very important, because you got to know your teammates. It's like a brotherhood. Like, you got to know when they up and down, and when they can't take it, and when they could take it. And you know, you got to know his weakness. Like, I believe all of us should know each other's weakness. So, and congrats to them guys, by the way, and welcome to the Chicago Bears, by the way. If I get out the jinx, but it's definitely important to just create that bond, that chemistry, that when we go on the field during game days or even in practice, like, yo, this the swagger we're going to have, this the attitude we're going to have, and we all going to hold each other back. And it's okay for to argue and cuss each other out, because if you can't do that, that means you can't be hold accountable. You ain't going to hold yourself accountable. So it's definitely good to get that bond, because, you know, like, just coming up in the system that I came in, I done seen guys argue, cuss each other out, fight. And at the same time, after all of that over with, it's back to football. It's back to winning. It's back to, you know, protecting my brother. And so it'll be very fun this offseason, well, going through OTA, to really get out and play with them guys.
Sounds like those old Ravens defenses that you're talking about. Purnell, we'll leave you on this. So last week when the women's basketball team at Mississippi State shocked the world, and that's your alma mater, that's where you went to school, and they kept showing Dak Prescott as though he's the only guy rooting for Mississippi State. Where were you when Morgan hit that shot to beat Connecticut?
I was sitting in my living room wishing that I was at the game just to support, you know, the team in my school. I was sitting there, I was watching, and I was like, here come a bucket, and she baited, because the first one got slapped right before overtime, and she did the same thing, dribbled to the hole, and this time she kind of threw the ball a little higher, and it went in. So I knew we was going to win the whole time. I mean, I know it was going to be tough against South Carolina, but I knew we was going to win, because, you know, what you got to lose when you're going against the best team ever, so, you know, the best dynasty ever.
One of the greatest upsets in the history of sport. Hey, Purnell McPhee, thank you so much. We'll see you this offseason.
All right, thanks for having me, man.
Thank you, Purnell.
Thanks,
thank
Purnell.
You. Purnell McPhee, the Bears outside linebacker, spending some time. Very candid interview, but hey, the program is Bears All Access.
Yeah, it is. I like to hear what Purnell has to say. I like the message that he delivers, and I like his practice habits. He makes the position that he practices against and the other guys around him better because of his attitude at practice.
When we come back, we'll find out what you guys think listening to him, what it means when the Bears take the field as they begin practicing this offseason. 312-644-6767. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Go off the field with Inside the Bears. Tune in weekly Saturday at 6 p.m. on CW 50 and Sunday at Fox 32 Chicago at 10:35 p.m. for unique stories and interviews exclusively for Bears fans. And this week on Inside the Bears, Spice Adams and Peanut Tillman are throwing axes. Yeah, you heard me right. Throwing axes. Cam Meredith bravely accepts the phone challenge, and former Bears fullback Roland Harper was well known for leading the way for Walter Payton, but tune in to see just how he's leading the way today. Inside the Bears airs Saturdays at 6 p.m. on CW 50 Chicago and Sunday at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. You can also watch show segments online at chicagobears.com or on the Chicago Bears official app anytime. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zabin. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Let's go out to the phones because I know a lot of you want to talk some football with us. In Iowa, Darren, you are on Bears All Access.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. Hey, there's a prospect out there I've never really heard of. I guess I've heard of his name but never seen him play. And that's Solomon Thomas. Now, would he make a good fit in Chicago along with Leonard Floyd? Now, I also heard another guy today that the Bears could be very well interested in, Derek Barnett out of Tennessee. What do you guys think about them two prospects? I'm going to hang up and let you guys talk. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm not saying Solomon Thomas couldn't do it or not be a good fit because I think he's a great player out of Stanford. I think he's more geared towards a 4-3 defense. I think he plays on rundowns good as a defensive end in a 4-3, and then on passing downs, you can kick him down to a 3 technique as a penetrator. I'm not saying, great players are great players, and I think Vic Fangio could find a fit for him in the Bears' 3-4 defense, but I just don't, I think he's more projected in, say, a 4-3. As for Derek Barnett, the kid out of Tennessee, man, when you're up there breaking Reggie White's records, I think it says it all. He's a very athletic pass rusher out of Tennessee. A lot of teams have high grades on him. He will go in the first round, but at that's probably too high and too rich at that point at number 3 for the Bears. It would be my take on him. But great player in what he's accomplished at Tennessee.
Just one thing about Solomon Thomas, being less than 6'3",
right.
Where do you really fit? Are you going to beat the long arms of these offensive tackles to be considered a defensive end? Then you're too light and too small to be a true nose guard in this system. And then, you play a lot of different fronts in the configurations depending upon the offense you're playing against. So I do think there's other defensive players out there that kind of fit the 3-4 system in Vic Fangio's eyes better than Solomon Thomas this high.
Yeah, but Jim, how often are you going to be in your base 3-4 package the way the NFL is today?
I think there are certain tendencies. I think, in terms of the fit, not that you can't run 3-4 unders and 3-4 overs. Yeah, you can configure it that way. But I just think when you look at the history of John Fox, I just go back to Carolina. He always had those big, defensive linemen like Rucker and that group that were down there, and I think the same for Vic Fangio. I think other than Justin Smith, who was a high motor guy that he used in San Francisco that way, I think they could find a place for Solomon Thomas, but I kind of agree with what Tom is saying. I think he's a bit undersized. You could kick him down in certain pass situations to be an interior rusher, but I just don't think that would be his strong suit, and it'd be a great fit for the Chicago Bears 3-4. I think he is geared more for 4-3.
But one thing, too, is once you become evaluated by the opponent's offensive coordinator, offensive line coach, if you find a guy that's in the lineup that's an attackable position to go after, is that what he becomes if you kind of feel like you're playing him out of position in the system? So, you do have to have a guy that's a right fit no matter what front you morph into.
And isn't this coaching staff, this is the thing that strikes me about the Bears defensive coaching staff, is they're flexible enough to adjust. These are decorated defensive minds where if you have talent, they'll find a way to put you in their scheme in a position to be successful.
Right. Yeah, I think Akeem Hicks is a great example of that, because when you look at the size of Akeem Hicks and you see where his versatility and how he can play up and down the line of scrimmage, he's got the speed to play on the outside with the length against offensive tackle, but then he's got the dominant size to play on the inside against offensive guards or even if he's over the center. So, you know, that was one of the qualities I think was that everybody wanted to see, what was Akeem Hicks going to be able to offer up there defensively, and he's offered it up and down the line of scrimmage. Now you got to see, what is Jonathan Bullard going to be able to offer in his second year? Is he going to be able to move up and down the line of scrimmage? Because we saw athleticism out of him early in camp last year.
That's a good analogy, because Bullard is a pretty athletic guy. And Solomon Thomas is a great player. Don't get me wrong. He's got a high motor, flies to the football. His lateral movement and how he tracks things down is awesome. But to me, when I look at Jonathan Bullard, I think that's kind of his role. And that was their thinking. And here, when they drafted Bullard, I think he's literally 285. Isn't he? He's literally got Solomon Thomas by 10 pounds in terms of his size. So, yeah, I kind of that's who I would relate him to. I just don't know where the fit would be for Solomon Thomas, who is a fantastic player.
312-644-6767 is the number here on Bears All Access. We go out to Roscoe Village. Mike, you are on the show. Hey, Mike.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys.
What's on your mind?
So I just happen to agree with Tom regarding Watson at 3. And I know Jim felt that was a little too rich at that level, or at that number. And I'm just curious as to why he felt that way.
Well, I think for me, like, I've got certain traits at the quarterback position that I like, certainly the size and stature of the quarterback. You know, it's very rare that you see the Russell Wilsons get drafted in the third round and have the success they had. And I think that's what a lot of people were fighting, is just they have got the prototypical measurables, where you see a guy like Andrew Luck, who is kind of, you know, number one guy taken, and he's 6'5", he's 240 pounds, he's got great numbers, and comes from a system that really groomed him for the National Football League, because he was really well coached at Stanford under Jim Harbaugh. The guy knew personnel groupings, he checked plays at the line of scrimmage, all those things. I think Watson, I don't mind his body of work. I love it. The guy's, you know, he loses the national championship game, comes back and plays well against Alabama and has a tremendous game. I mean, he literally is thrown for over 800 yards in two games against Alabama. He's 32-3 as a starter. He's a winner. Certainly that's important. But I think there are some question marks about his accuracy and his decision-making. I think he's cleared some of those up on his pro day. But I just think when you look at the Bears giving $45 million to Mike Glennon, and then you sign Mark Sanchez and you've already re-signed Connor Shaw, I just don't think that is, you know, it's a glaring need as what it once was for the Chicago Bears. You know, a year from now, because Mike Glennon's deal could really be, if he plays poorly, it could be a one-and-done for Mike Glennon. And next year's draft class is going to be an incredible class. You know, I just talked to USC's head coach today, Helton. We did an interview with him, and they've got a pretty good quarterback when you look at that Darnold out of USC. If he decides to come out, next year's class is just, I think, physically just more decorated than this year's class and what they have to offer. There's some diamonds in the rough for quarterbacks this year, but I just don't think that's a glaring need, and I think it would be a reach for Watson at number 3.
Jim, you talk about the traits for the quarterback position. How important is the 40 time for you in your evaluation of the quarterback? Because when you see Deshaun Watson, you talk about a 4.68 40, but then you look at a guy like Brad Kaya from the U down in Miami, who's got a lot of experience, and then he's got a 4.9 40. Is that something that you really pay attention to, or is that kind of a second or third trade in the line of importance?
Yeah, I think you want to see how fluid a player is and how he, you know, to me, it the most important is when you watch a guy on tape, when he needs to get out of trouble, can he get out of trouble? I think, you know, extending a play is always important, and Watson can definitely do that. I think that's a positive for him and what he's able to do. But I don't think that's the end-all, be-all, because what happens is, at the end of the day, the older you get as a player, that 40 time means nothing. You know, Tom Brady ran over a 5-flat at the NFL Combine. And a player like Cam Newton, as well as he ran his rookie year in the 12 touchdowns, I think we see his body has been physically beaten up. And even Ron Rivera said that their offense needs to change for the Carolina Panthers. Here, the guy's getting rotator cuff surgeries. He's had numerous rib issues and bumps and bruises because he's so physical running the football, and they really want to temper that right now. But movement skills are important. But to me, when you break it down on film, it's just when a guy knows to take off and does he have the athleticism, the fluidity to get it done, what he needs to accomplish, and Watson definitely can do that.
We've got to take a break, but when we come back, Brian Kelly, the Notre Dame head coach, had a lot of interesting things to say this week in regards to his top quarterback, DeShone Kizer, who has entered the NFL draft, and not all of it was positive. And I'm wondering, does that affect the decision-making process for an evaluator, hearing what Brian Kelly had to say this week? We'll discuss next with Tom Thayer and Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Get round-the-clock news, video, and updates straight from your favorite team. Download the Chicago Bears official app and follow the Bears on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat for the latest content direct to your device. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access brought to you by Uber. We'll get to Pernell McPhee's thoughts, and he joined us earlier in the program, and we'll kind of break down the Bears defense and what a healthy McPhee would mean for that defensive ball club. But I heard Brian Kelly earlier this week, and I know you guys did too, in regards to a conversation he had on satellite radio talking about DeShone Kizer. And what he said was essentially, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he said that Kizer could have benefited from staying in school from a maturity standpoint, both on and off the field. Now, if you're an evaluator and you hear a head coach say that, and something that we heard a few years ago, remember when Pete Carroll was the head coach at USC and Mark Sanchez surprisingly entered the NFL draft, basically Carroll said that Sanchez wasn't ready. The Jets still made him a very high pick that year. How do you read into what Kelly is saying about a quarterback that many believe will go in the first round?
To me, Jim, it's just a guy that is around him every single day. He watches his mental preparation, his physical preparation, how he interacts with his teammate, how prepared he is on game day. And he knows the difficulty of playing the quarterback position at an NFL level. So, yeah, I think a lot of young kids could benefit for an extra year in college if they didn't let guys come out after their sophomore, if they can, or their junior or senior year, obviously. But if there's a lot of coaches that would think young men would benefit from another year in college, both to mature, grow up in a football sense, and even grow up in an academic sense in their schooling.
Yeah, and, you know, again, he's just – and we've said this all along. I love DeShone Kizer's arm. I do, but there's more to that than playing quarterback in the National Football League. You know, here we just had one caller call in about DeShone Watson. Now, if I were to compare Watson to Kizer, it's not even close. Because when you look at the intangibles for the position, Watson brings much more to the table, the quote-unquote it factor. Right, he shows up in big games and he can carry his team. And I think for Brian Kelly, and I don't think he's trying to be selfish just to get DeShone Kizer back to Notre Dame for one more year. He's made his decision and he's moved on, but Kelly knows that he's not ready, and a lot of these quarterbacks are not ready, and that's what we've talked about. I mean, even today, we are less than a month away from the draft, and these quarterbacks are all over the board. People don't know, still don't feel that who's in first. Is Trubisky the first quarterback taken? Is it DeShone Watson? Where does Kizer fit in? Mahomes been climbing up the charts right now from Texas Tech. But it's literally like 50-50 of who likes Trubisky over Watson. You know, Tom and I have made our decision. We both like DeShone Watson for all the reason that the caller called in about.
But something that we have to take into account, guys, and I think this is important, is – you're trying to project what a player at the quarterback position is going to do in a style that they didn't play in college, which I think is extremely difficult. That's one. And two, you know, I could make the case that all the things you guys were saying about DeShone Watson, you could have said about DeShone Kizer 2 years ago when he was surrounded by NFL talent, guys like Will Fuller and CJ Procise and a terrific offensive line. And then that talent left for the NFL, whereas Clemson was able to get better every single season that DeShone Watson was there as the quarterback.
But here would be my rebuttal to that. Even though that maybe they're not as talented a team, your quarterback has to be able to motivate the players around him. The 10 other guys that are in there, if Tom Thayer and I were lining up together and all of a sudden one of our left guards goes down, it doesn't matter. The next guy's up, he's got to play. And you and all your teammates have to play with that guy. And you, as a quarterback, as the leader and CEO of that offense, have to get that group to believe and everybody have the trust in one another that we're going to win this game. Now, what Brian Kelly, and I brought up the quote, after when he was benched, DeShone Kizer, in that loss to Stanford, and he had the bad plays, the interceptions, he said, our quarterback gave us no energy. That's directly pointing the finger at the lack of leadership at the quarterback position, which you need desperately for any team that plays football, not only in the National Football League, but college as well.
You know, one of the criticisms, too, of Kizer has been his inconsistency on easy throws. And that's one thing that needs to repetitiously be done by any position where, no matter where they play, is they need those 1,000 extra throws, 1,000 extra one-on-ones if you're an offensive lineman in order to refine your technique.
We're breaking it down on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access continues on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Tom Thayer's here, so is Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaveman. We had a chance to talk to Pernell McPhee, the Bears outside linebacker, earlier in the show. And one of the things he talked about is, you know, dropping the 25 pounds, making a commitment to feeling right physically and changing some of the things he does in order to put himself in a position to have success. And we're not talking about an old guy. He's 28 years old. You know, it's not like you're talking about a 35-year-old guy. It's just that the injuries have really impacted him the last couple of seasons. But early on in his Bears career, he was an impact player before he got hurt. And now you look at Leonard Floyd's influence last year, and with a full offseason of getting his body right and learning the proper fundamentals, hitting by looking at the target as opposed to keeping your head down, stuff like that. What kind of an impact, Tom, can a healthy McPhee have on the rest of this defense?
Well, I mean, he can have a huge impact on a guy like Leonard Floyd and Willie Young, because Leonard Floyd showed last year he has the ability to pass rush from the interior against the guards and centers. And then if you go back 2 years ago against the Seattle Seahawks, Pernell McPhee had a two-sack day rushing over the right guard. So now you look at putting Willie Young in a stance, having Willie Young out of a two-point stance, having Akeem Hicks line up over anybody on the defensive line. Hopefully you get the explosiveness out of Jonathan Bullard. It's just the versatility of the defensive front when they become pass rushers to keep the offensive line guessing. And so I think that's the key ingredient here, is not only the impact that Pernell McPhee has when he's out there as a player, but the impact he can have on a young guy like Leonard Floyd, or allow the versatilities of Akeem Hicks and Willie Young move up and down the line of scrimmage.
And Jim, when you look at the way Fangio ran his defenses in San Francisco, you know, he hasn't really been able to take many chances in his first couple of years as Bears defensive coordinator because of all the injuries and limitations of the players that have been put in to replace those guys. If you have these healthy starters playing at the level that you expect, how much fun can Fangio have in terms of getting in the quarterback's head?
Yeah, it limits his versatility and, you know, his ability to really expand his play calling. Because, like you said, when the Bears signed McPhee, I remember when we broke it down and us three were on Bears All Access. We've seen that guy line up outside the tight ends as an outside backer in a nine technique. He's lined up as a seven technique. He's played a five technique in a 3-4. He's played the zero technique as a stand-up rusher over the center in Baltimore. They put him all over that defensive line, so he brings versatility. Then when he gets hurt, that versatility is limited, right? He can't do all the things he was brought in to do, so it limits Vic Fangio as a play caller. So I hope for Pernell's sake that he gets completely healthy and is able to return to form as the player I think the Bears, you know, expected him to be or wanted him to be when he became a Chicago Bear. There's a reason why they gave him all that money, and his versatility and his passion for the game really stood out as a Baltimore Raven and why the Bears wanted to add that to the roster. But I do think it limits Vic Fangio.
You know, Pernell McPhee is not only limited to only his pass rushing skills. Last year and the latter part of the season, on short yardage and goal line scenarios, he did, as Jim said, lined up over the center and the guards, as a stand-up defensive lineman in short yardage goal line and made tackles for loss. So, again, that versatility, that unexpectedness of where this guy's lining up and the way he's lining up against me as an offensive lineman, now it puts thought and concern and, you know, kind of a little bit of a change of a mindset by the offensive line.
Man, you guys are getting me excited here because if he can stay on the field, then you're potentially talking about him winning more than the Ed Block Courage Award next season if he can do all those things by playing a complete 16-game season. All right, so Tony Romo, that's the big story in the NFL. The former Cowboys quarterback is retiring, says he's 99% sure he's done with football, and he's going to head into the broadcast booth alongside Jim Nantz and be part of the CBS team. You guys have been doing this for years, what Tony Romo is attempting to do, but you didn't do it right after you played. You didn't go immediately from playing your last game to the booth. What's he in store for? If you could give him some advice, I'll start with you, Jim, and then we'll go to Tom. What's the advice that you would give Tony Romo?
Well, I'll just say you got to have thick skin. Certainly he's going to make mistakes. I mean, think of the NFC East alone. All those, whether it's Redskin, Giants fans, or Eagles fans, they'll be slinging arrows on social media, you know, looking for the mistake. And it's just part of being a Dallas Cowboy. And he was a great Dallas Cowboy, but probably the opportunity was too great to pass up for him. Has the ability to call golf, which he's has a passion for, and now is obviously stepping in the booth with the number one team. So, you know, there's going to be a learning curve, no doubt about that, and you just got to be able to have thick skin and go about your business and get better and hone your craft at what he currently wants to do moving forward.
You better learn how to memorize rosters and watch a lot of tape, because Tony Romo's not only going to look tape of a team he's playing against, he's going to have to know every single name, your first teamers, your second teamers, and your backups, to make sure that when you're making a call about a play, that you can able to say the names of who's what's taking place.
How hard is it to be critical of guys that you played with or against?
I just think that's what goes into watching the tape and the preparation. You're not necessarily being critical. You're just having constructive criticism about how they can do what's asked of them correctly.
Yeah, I think the more you get involved in the business, I think that goes away, and you just kind of call it as you see it. And, you know, you do have to be critical. At times, you just really got to break down why the play did or did not work, and you're just being honest about it.
Guys, great stuff. Man, we're getting closer to the draft. More and more discussion next week. Tuesday will be our next edition of Bears All Access, 6 o'clock right here on The Score. For Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zabin. Thanks for listening to another edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on ChicagoBears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, FanDuel, and Verizon.